The UN says 1.5 billion kids around the world have been affected by school closures due to the pandemic. As school districts now look ahead to the fall, many parents are wondering if classrooms will stay closed. And if they do, what does that mean for their children's education? Robin Lake is director of the Center for Reinventing Public Education in Seattle. She's been surveying school districts across the country to see if she can help answer that question. Robin, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Good to have you. And what does the research tell us about how far behind kids have already fallen academically because of this pandemic?
Yes. Well, it's something of a lost year for a lot of kids. So researchers are estimating that though kids' experiences will have varied very much last year, it can be expected that a lot of kids will have lost maybe about half of the math content they should have received last year and maybe a third of the reading. But as I say, that will not be evenly distributed.
Right, because not all school districts are created equal. What kind of discrepancies are you seeing?
Yeah, so when we look across the country, we see that 1 in 3 districts typically really required teachers to teach last year, so provided something, kind of a coherent education, if you think about it that way. And even fewer, 1 in 5, asked teachers to do live instruction, so really, you know, engaging with kids in the classroom. So that's a lot of variation, especially in rural districts where there wasn't a lot of access to Wi-Fi and devices, that kind of thing. Students with disabilities may not have had access to their services. And some parents are much more involved than other parents, of course, in terms of being able to take the time to support their kids' learning.
So you're saying 1 in 5, 20% of schools across the country offered live instructions from their teachers. That is not very much. And as a result of that, you're also saying that kids are behind in math and in reading. So, I mean, what are the consequences of being that far behind in these core skills?
Well, it really depends on what we do. If we do nothing, there will be significant repercussions and kids will pay the price. They'll be struggling to catch up. If they miss some foundational skills, you know, think about little kids missing, or, you know, just building blocks for reading, or older kids missing some important algebra skills. They may never catch up in the way that we hope they will. But the great news is that that doesn't have to be the case. We know what to do to catch kids up, and it'll certainly be challenging next year. But I, you know, my view is we've really got to double down and get serious quickly.
Okay, let's get into what it is that we do to catch up. My first thought is summer school. Is that right? I mean, does that even exist in this pandemic world that we live in?
Yeah, summer school, it seemed to me, would be an important opportunity for catching kids up. A lot of school districts, about 60% by our count, are offering some kind of summer school. However, it's a little disappointing to look at what that really looks like. Most of those summer school opportunities are voluntary. They're really aimed for kids who need to recover some credits or something, and you know, more of a desperate situation. So not a lot of summer school happening, really.
Okay.
And not a lot of, you know, enrichment.
Well, that doesn't sound good. So what do we do? What do we do to catch up? You said there's some options there.
We're going to have to get serious very quickly in the fall. Really, you know, getting a quick and important handle on diagnosing what kids' needs are, tutoring, providing, you know, one-on-one support for the kids who need it most, special education services. But it's going to be tricky because in the fall, most states are expecting significant budget cuts, maybe 20% cuts or more to state budgets. And of course, there's all the social distancing requirements and everything that schools will have to be coping with. So I think of it as a perfect storm, really coming together and making educators' jobs very difficult if we don't help them out.
You know, I have an 11-year-old who just finished fifth grade. And one of the things that struck me while she was at home doing, you know, a once-a-day, hour-long Zoom call with her class was that at one point, one of her teachers said to her, "You know, I haven't even seen XYZ classmate on any of these Zoom calls in weeks." You know, to what extent do you think kids just weren't showing up to school?
Yeah. Well, a lot of them weren't. A lot of them really have disengaged. We know that high school kids in particular, many of them are just missing. School districts are not always even taking attendance, which is a little alarming to me. But when they are, some school districts are finding that, well, Providence, Rhode Island has something like 36% of their kids just chronically absent right now. So, you know, finding ways to re-engage students once we have them back in the classroom and getting better at this remote learning thing, because realistically, many of them will have to continue to be online next year, at least part-time.
To that point, does it make sense to even let kids move on to the next grade in the fall? I mean, should we just have a nationwide pause here where we say, okay, every fifth grader in the country kind of has to do fifth grade again? Or is that going a little too far?
Yeah, some folks have proposed that. It's enormously unpopular with parents. I can tell you from the surveys. They hate the idea. And really, I don't think there's need for it. And great educators know how to address learning gaps and really accelerate kids quickly if we give them the tools. Now, you know, that's what's critical here is we just can't, you know, leave them without a lot of supports. And I think it's important that districts start working with states, where states can provide tutoring programs and things that can be helpful. The federal government needs to really help with, you know, the digital divide, making sure that all kids have the tools they need to be successful. So it is possible. I don't think we need to hold kids back. We need to accelerate them very quickly.
I heard you say that it's very likely kids will be continuing to do remote learning in the fall, again, giving parents something of a heart palpitation here. So do you think that's what we should be doing? I mean, considering how advanced some of the outbreaks are in hotspots around the country, I mean, should we just go ahead and say that's the way school is going to be in the fall?
Well, I think at the very least, we need to make sure that all families, all students have access to that option should they need it. So, you know, many families and kids will have health concerns of their own. Many teachers have health concerns that will prevent them from coming back to the classroom. So, you know, I like to think about options, having a lot of tools available for families to be able to meet their individual needs. And, you know, places like Florida, who have experienced a lot of hurricanes and crises in the past, ask school districts all to have remote learning plans should they need it. So that seems like a reasonable thing for me. Ideally, we get kids back in classroom, in the classroom and having fun with their friends.
What I'm hearing you say is concerning, to say the least. So before I let you go, please give me a bright spot, something that we can be optimistic about, something we've learned maybe over the course of the last few months.
Yes. You know, most kids will prefer to be learning in person, but many of them have told researchers that there are things about remote learning that they really love, kind of a more of an individual approach, being able to move at their own pace through things. Many educators also are finding that there were technology tools they didn't know about that are really helpful to them. So, you know, nobody wanted this all to happen. But I do think that there will be some things that we can grab moving forward and, accelerate us into something that may be more effective long term. And especially that will help us really address the equity issues that the crisis is revealing in education and elsewhere, but we were able to ignore. We can't ignore it anymore.
Robin Lake is director of the Center for Reinventing Public Education with a look at what school might look like in the future and how far kids have fallen behind in the past couple of months. Robin, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Great to join you.
And what do you think? How did that school year go for you and your kids? Remote learning. Are you worried about next year? We'd love to hear from you at hereandnow.org.